Whether you're doing a dance to your favorite artist in the office parking lot, or being guided into Warrior One in the break room before your shift, whether you're running on your Peloton tread at your mom's house while she watches the baby, or counting your breaths on the subway,
inhaling and long exhale out.
Peloton is for all of us, wherever we are, whenever we need it. Download the free Peloton app today. Peloton app available through free tier or paid subscription starting at $12.99 per month.
Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren here, and I want to invite you to my new home, The Big 615, exclusively on TuneIn. It's the official home of country music broadcasting live from Nashville to the world. Get the latest on country music, from your favorite artists to the hottest songs climbing up the charts. Oh, and it's commercial-free. Hear it all on The Stormy Warren Show, weekdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. Or ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn. Tune in.
Don't you wish your khaki shorts were legitimately comfortable instead of stiff cotton? Try Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts look like khaki shorts but feel like gym shorts. They have it all: anti-stink, sweat-wicking fabric, a super comfortable built-in liner, and zipper pockets to keep everything secure. It's time to swap your old-school khakis for Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB, promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Good morning to you. It's a Friday. And not just that, it's a Friday before a holiday weekend. It's that kind of Friday. It's a red, white, and blue extravaganza. We've already recorded our newest video version of Ask Amy Anything. We did one last July 4th. We thought it would be fun to do another. This one's not outside at a park. Instead, we're inside, but it's a new setting where we've never been before. So we're looking forward to getting that edited and prepared and posted for you at some point this weekend on our YouTube channel. Now, we will be here on Sunday night into Monday, Monday night into Tuesday, which is Independence Day, as well as Tuesday night, because it's a big week for the NBA. Free agency officially begins in 13 hours. So at 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and everywhere in between. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot that could happen in the first few days, so we don't want to miss it. And also, I break out in hives when I think about traveling with everyone else that's on the move during holiday weekends. The number I heard from AAA, 51 million Americans will be on the move this weekend for July 4th. And part of that is on the roads, of course, some through the air. There have already been major delays at airports around the country because of storms that went through, some significant storms that affected large swaths of the country last weekend. And I know that I've got friends and family who've had flights that were delayed. Producer Jay's in the same boat too. So the airlines are dealing with a ton of volume and trying to catch up. And 51 million Americans traveling for July 4th weekend will not make that problem any easier. But I am glad I'm not going to be in it. You all enjoy your traveling. And please take us with you. That's kind of the fun part of being involved in sports radio over the holidays, and especially our hours, because a lot of you will be out of your regular routines. You'll be driving. You'll just be staying up late. Maybe you'll be at a barbecue. Maybe you'll be at some type of a picnic and you're thinking, on demand. That's an option that works. Let's grab the After Hours podcast. Whatever it is, we're glad if we can keep you company, and we would love for you to take us along on your holiday adventures. Richie posts this on our Facebook page. My boy Carter and I are listening. He thinks cake. He says cake is the first thing he grabs at a barbecue or a picnic. Again, his name is Carter. It's his 6th birthday on Friday. So happy birthday to Carter. Thanks to Dad Richie, who posts a photo. We're so glad to be part of your birthday, but also thrilled that you're listening to us. So Carter and Richie, be safe in your travels. And Carter, have an amazing 6th birthday. I'm with you. Cake and dessert. They should be the first things on our plates at barbecues or picnics this summer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's the question. What's the first thing you grab at a barbecue or your picnic, whether it's yours or someone else's? I don't like cold burgers, so I always grab the burger first. And I got to have cheese to put on my burger and then some onion and some tomato and some ketchup. So that's the first thing I do at a barbecue, whether I go to a cookout or a picnic. I'm always looking burgers first, have the hot food first. I do love the baked beans. I'll eat potato salad if it doesn't have mayo in it because I don't like mayo. Definitely chips and dip, veggies and dip. Trying to think what else I have to have on my plate right away. Pickles, to be sure, especially if they're baby dills. Not if they yodel, though I wouldn't recommend Yoda, the yodeling pickle. So we're asking you this question that's so pertinent to our July 4th weekend on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too. We're glad to have you with us again. And if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, new video will be up in the next few days. A lot of times, when you think July 4th, if it's not NBA free agency, well, you're thinking baseball. On the heels of a perfect game on Wednesday evening, we were closing in on another piece of history on Thursday.
No runs, no hits for Miami. No runs, three hits, and one error for Boston. Bounding ball up the middle. Diving stop by Hernandez from his knees. The throw, no chance, to the home plate side of the first base bag. Great effort by Kike. Did well just to stop it, but had to throw from his knees and didn't get anything on it. And many of the fans now on their feet saluting. Bayo took a no-hitter into the eighth inning and lost it on the second pitch of the eighth on an infield single by Segura.
That's Sean McDonough on the Red Sox radio network. So Bayo loses his no-hit bid in the eighth for the Red Sox. You would think that because he had not given up a hit until early in the eighth, that the Red Sox were in a good position, right? Sitting pretty against the red hot Marlins, but they didn't do enough against Marlins pitching themselves.
1-2 the count, and the pitch is a line drive into center field. The base hit for John Birdie, and the Marlins take a 1-0 lead here in the eighth inning.
Here's the 2-0 to Jazz, and that is swung on and hit in the air with authority. Center field, Duvall's going back, racing back, looking up, and it's out of here! Jazz Chisholm Jr., a big fly. His second of the series, his 9th of the season. There's the insurance the Marlins were looking for here in the ninth, and he knew it, Gabby, off the bat. But listen to the boos. Keep on booing them.
1-2 the count to Adam Duvall. Pucks a strike away, and the pitch is hit in the air right field. On the run is Sanchez. He is over. He makes the catch. The Miami Marlins are 14 games over 500 as the boos rain down on the Red Sox here at Fenway Park.
On Marlins radio, a lot of gusto, a lot of energy there as they are 14 games over 500 for the first time since 2003. That's why it's a big deal. This is one of the burgeoning stories of the baseball season that is worth paying attention to. Now, despite the fact that Bayo nearly had a no-hitter, or that he was a couple innings shy of a no-hitter, Boston only managed four hits. And the Marlins plate runs in the eighth and the ninth. They get the win. It's their fifth in a row. And Jesus Luzardo, he took the opportunity to poke the Boston Bear just a little bit, considering the Marlins got the best of the Red Sox. The Panthers beat the Bruins in Boston in a game 7 in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Heat eliminated the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I feel like Boston's had a tough time against Miami lately, but I feel like we just went out there and tried to play the best we could, and thankfully it worked out our way. But we're just trying to ride the hot hand, like I said. So whoever it is that we face, we're going to try to go out there and beat them.
I mean, that's just wrong. Well, it's wrong, but it's just so right. It's wrong, but it's right. It is funny though, and to think about the great sports town that Boston has always been, and the number of championships and titles and the fact that very often the teams are contenders, if you consider the Patriots and their dominance for 20 years, here are the teams from South Florida as 8 seeds in the playoffs, and now the Marlins, who were not considered to be a factor, especially not in the NL East, when last year both the Braves and the Mets had 101 wins and the Phillies went to the World Series. The Marlins were an afterthought in the NL East, but not so fast. Now, the Braves are still 6 games up, but Marlins manager Skip Schumacher, right, he knows that they've got something good going here.
Really haven't got to the Braves. We're thinking about the Red Sox and, tonight against Fenway, in Fenway against a good pitcher. And, you know, we wanted to end the series on a good note and have a happy flight. And, you know, we'll worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I say that a lot, but that's just the reality.
It's also a happy flight because Luis Arraez found out he's an All-Star. Now, remember, he had been hitting at actually 400 earlier this season for a brief moment. Now he's at 392. Oh, it's so terrible. He's fallen back to 392. But, yeah, he was really emotional finding out about his All-Star starting opportunity.
I almost cried there, emotional. But especially the game we play right now, I give it to my teammates, to my family, to the fans to support me.
Congratulations to all of the starters for the two teams. That game takes place in Seattle. And while we don't know the rest of the rosters, and you could certainly imagine that there will be some replacements because there are guys who are injured or can't make it. Really neat, though, to see a mix of teams with players that generally don't get a lot of starters in an All-Star game in baseball, right? So we're used to seeing Braves. We're used to seeing Dodgers. We're used to seeing even Cardinals, Yankees, Angels. But right now we've got Diamondbacks. We've got Marlins. We've got Rays and Randy Arozarena and also Yandy Diaz. And how about this? 4 Rangers. So the Rangers lead major leagues. They lead the major leagues with the most starters. But yeah, 3 Dodgers as well. 3 Braves, and also Trout and Ohtani from the Angels. Aaron Judge not going to play, so someone will replace him in the outfield for the American League, but he was voted in as a starter. So yeah, a really neat moment. Corbin Carroll, he's a Diamondbacks rookie that makes the team as a starter in the outfield. And can you imagine a rookie, right? Young kid, I think he's 22, and he's playing with Mookie Betts and Ronald Acuna of the Braves. Braves and Dodgers, right, who've had so much success recently. And here are the Diamondbacks who are leading the NL West. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Not just the Marlins who are hot to trot, but the Rays still have the best record in Major League Baseball. We're about at the midway point, so some teams are dead on it with 81 games played of the 162. Others are just past the halfway point. And so as we get to the All-Star break and then on to the trade deadline, all of a sudden, your summer is half over, right? Because the All-Star festivities take place about mid-July, and then the trade deadline is the end of July. Do you know what else is taking place at the end of July? Jay, what else happens at the end of July? Oh, he's got this crazy look on his face. Are you kidding? Come on, we know. You know. I know that you know that I know that you know what else happens at the end of July. Oh, Jay.
Are you
already checked out in holiday mode?
No. I'm not sure. Remind me.
It's the way too early start of NFL training camps.
Oh, of course.
At the end of July.
Honestly, I feel like the NFL season hasn't even ended. So I don't think of it as, and it's just nonstop. I mean, for real.
Yes, it is. Anyway, the official training camps, they get underway. I think for the earliest teams, it's July 23rd, 24th, somewhere in there. So the All-Star break is July 10th and 11th. So we get the home run derby that everybody loves. July 11th, this is T-Mobile Park in Seattle. And then 2 weeks later, it's the start of NFL training camps. So there goes your summer. It's almost over. And then right on the heels of training camps is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. So yeah, it's July is gone before you know it. And then, oh my gosh, it's August, and we're a month out from NFL season kicking off.
Preseason games.
I know, it's too early. You're depressing
me.
Stop depressing me. Why did I bring this up? It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
Fancy
let's get
draft.
Back. Let's get back to the no.
You playing your draft yet?
Although no, I did win my fantasy league last year, so I got to defend my honor and defend my title. Let's get back to some summertime though, with food and cookouts and barbecues, all that jazz. What's the first food that you pick up? What's your go-to when it's all laying out in front of you in all of its glory? It's way too early to think about the trade deadline. It really is. We're still just at the end of June. In fact, Friday is the final day of June. So Saturday is July 1st, which is what I'm talking about. It's coming. But the questions are already being asked of one Max Scherzer. No doubt they'll be asked of Justin Verlander as well. Because the Mets continue to sink, they've lost 18 of 24, one of the worst teams in the National League. Right now, so far out in the wild card race that it would take a miracle for them to even be involved in the wild card races. Steve Cohen, the owner, did this press conference, kind of an impromptu midseason press conference, where he said that his GM and his manager are safe and he's not going to make changes in the middle of the season. But with the trade deadline still a month away and the Mets having a record payroll, it's the highest in the history of baseball. A lot of the money being wrapped up for Scherzer and Verlander, who are elder statesmen. They've seen a lot in baseball. They've got a lot of hardware between them, including World Series rings. But are they still worth it to the Mets? If they're not going to contend, does Steve Cohen still want to pay their salaries? Or could he potentially send them? Now, remember, this happened with Justin Verlander when he went from Detroit to Houston in 17. He was a major reason why the Astros won their first World Series title, plus the trash cans, but whatever. Max Scherzer, he helped the Nationals win a World Series in, was that 19? When the Nationals won? These guys have great experience. Now, I don't think that they can go as deep in games anymore like they used to. Five or six innings now is considered a quality start for these two dudes. But if you can get flashes in the pan, could a team, a contender, potentially bring them on board to replace another starter who gets hurt or to fill in a gap in the starting rotation because of the postseason experience they have, because they're winners, and because of everything they've seen on the baseball diamond? So already, the question is being asked to Max Scherzer. It's June.
Yeah, I'll comment when Steve says sell. Till then, it's pointless. It's just clickbait now.
When Steve says...
When he says sell, when he makes the... He drives this. So it's pointless for me to talk about anything in the contract whatsoever. I'm here to show up to win. That's all I'm here to do.
Max, Mad Max, clearly not happy about the line of questioning, would have to waive his no trade clause. So in this case, Max has some power in the equation. Does he want to stay in New York? Don't know. Would he rather play for a contender? Also don't know. Both these guys are late in their careers, right? I think that's pretty evident. The end is coming quicker. They're making plenty of money, but would they like to be on contenders? Now, I don't know if the Mets care what Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander want, but if there's a team out there willing to trade for them and actually pay the salaries, would Cohen take the bait? Or is he hoping against hope that they revert to their Cy Young form? I mean, Verlander won a Cy Young last year. He was brilliant. He was vintage Verlander. But you got to know at 40 years old, there's always a chance. There's always a time when these elder athletes just don't quite have it anymore. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, love to catch up with you. Our Facebook page, too. Oh, my stomach just started growling. It's a definite indication that it's morning, but also it seems like a holiday weekend growl. If you missed the match last night, I loved it. Warriors Chiefs, great smack talking. Who knew that Draymond Green and Von Miller would be right there the whole time? They were on the greens. They were on the tees. They were mic'd up. You got six athletes for the price of four. Really funny stuff. But my favorite moment came at the very beginning before they ever teed off. So I want you to hear that. Plus, there's another live event taking place this weekend in España. And in advance of this latest live tournament, Phil Mickelson speaks for the first time about the merger between live and PGA. We're glad to have you with us on this Friday morning, peeps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
To the After Hours podcast.
Coming this way is good about that.
Hey, y'all keep, you want Chuck
this way, so you got it right, just like inside, right?
What you see right here?
Right.
You know, Draymond talk a lot for a guy ain't got no job.
All day.
The eve of free agency. He ain't got no job. He should be nice to me.
Right, you got to leave it there. Leave it off to the side.
Just maybe you can break some news for us after this putt goes down there, Draymond.
Yeah, Dre, you going to Detroit on the red eye tonight, or you going back to the Bay?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A little interaction, little back and forth on the TNT set of The Match featuring Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, who lost to Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Steph and Klay, first of all, couldn't make a putt. Also, didn't have great drives either, but neither did Pat and Travis. People were definitely in play. There were people getting hit with their drives off of the tee. So this is not the original iteration of the match or the 2020 versions when you had Tiger and Phil and Brady and Peyton. Nah, this was, they were spraying drives all over the place. Even Steph, who is a scratch golfer. So yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of smack talk. The Charles Barkley ribbing of Draymond Green was hysterical. You talk a whole lot for a guy who doesn't have a job. Like, it was really funny to hear Barkley interact with the guys too. Everybody was mic'd up. And what I didn't expect is that Von Miller and Draymond Green would just insert themselves into the match. They weren't playing. They were actually supposed to be giving kind of running commentary. And I think Bleacher Report was sponsoring Von Miller doing some exclusive videos. Except after the first hole, the two of them just, they walked up on the tee boxes, they hung out on the greens, and because Draymond is a nonstop talker, he yaps the whole time, it was Vaughn and Draymond that did more talking even than Steph and Klay.
They were like honorary caddies.
They were, except they weren't doing any work. They were just talking away. Yeah, they had bets going, obviously, on the basketball and the football guys, and Draymond doesn't know anything about golf etiquette. He was asking questions of Steph. The two of them were doing more trash talking than anybody else was. Yeah, they were a constant part of the match. So you actually got six athletes instead of four, which I thought it was great because I love Vaughn and Draymond Green. But at one point it was hysterical because Dre did not let up on Klay Thompson. Did not let up. Now later in the round when they were fighting for their lives, they were facing multiple holes in which they were about to be eliminated. Klay made a couple of putts. Steph finally made a putt. But Draymond is mic'd up, and he's yapping about how Klay's the weak link, how Klay Thompson's keeping them from winning.
You're a clown.
And he's the reason that they're losing their bet, essentially, that he's losing money. And at one point, he's doing all this yapping while Klay is standing over a putt. And so Klay says, "Yo, Dre, bro, I can hear you." Draymond's like, "Oh, my fault. My bad, man."
No disrespect.
So the two of them they're just running commentary, right? A stream of consciousness. And neither one of them cares at all that they've got guys who are standing over tee shots or over putts. And then there's another moment where Charles and Ernie Johnson are speaking directly to Steph. So they were doing kind of on-course interviews, and they're speaking directly to Steph Curry, and Steph says, "You guys want an inside look at what it's like in our locker room? Full-fledged experience right here. This is full-fledged," meaning Draymond never shuts up, and he's always He's always ripping other guys.
That teaches man some etiquette.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There were also some really sweet moments. I love seeing Patrick Mahomes and his wife Brittany with their kids when the round was done. So that was really sweet. Patrick was holding his daughter and all of her blonde curls, and his wife was there holding their son. So, really neat moments, too, where you can see these guys kind of interact and how much they enjoy one another. The teamwork between Patrick and Travis is evident regardless of what sport they're playing. They really do love playing together and love hanging out together, too. Travis called this whole experience a perfect getaway for him because it's like a garden. He said it was like a botanical garden to be out there and play golf without the pressure. But my favorite moment actually came before they ever teed off, and this is courtesy of TNT.
I'm the only person up here knows this. I want to be the first person. It's an honor and a privilege to congratulate Ernie Johnson going into the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Chuckster, what are you talking about?
They told me, and I said, they said, would you do this? I said, it'd be an honor. It's an honor and a privilege to tell you, Ernie Johnson, congratulations, brother.
Yeah.
Man, that is awesome. Thank you so much. And you know what? I'm taking the rest of the day off. Thank you, guys. And whoever is responsible for that, whoever votes on that, I am humbled beyond words. So thank you so much. Means the world to me. I've been at this for 34 years at the same place. Been over 40 years in broadcasting, and I'm stunned. So thank you so much. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, it was really cool. Ernie Johnson had no idea. He stares at Charles Barkley for a good couple seconds and then says, get out of here. Thought maybe it was a joke or he was being pranked. No, in fact, that was how Ernie Johnson found out that he is a 2023 inductee into the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Ernie, whether you know him personally or whether you only watch him on TV. What I hear from those who work with him closely is that he's the same man all the time. He's classy. He's kind. He's gracious. He's humble. He's authentic. He's genuine. He's a family man. You may know that he and his wife have a special needs son. I think it's a son, an adult son that they take care of. And that has meant so much to their family. And there have been different videos and stories done about Ernie and his family. He's been in broadcasting for 40 years and on the Inside the NBA set since, I think it's 1989. It's been a long time. And yet he's made that show his own. Barkley is his longtime friend and partner on the set. And to get that news from Charles Barkley, I don't know anybody else out there who could handle Charles and his style and his craziness better than Ernie does. He plays the straight man to Charles. The two of them play off each other so well. And then Kenny and Shaq, too, have been part of the equation for a long time. It's one of the best shows in broadcasting. And he is one of the greats. He's not fake. He's not phony. He's real. And so for Ernie Johnson, who gets choked up as he hears the news, I want to say congratulations because it is a well-deserved honor. All right, we've got NBA free agency coming up in mere hours. And another LIV tournament. Not that I'm going to give you any breakdown about LIV in Spain, but Phil Mickelson speaking for the first time about the PGA LIV merger. And other guys too. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Sergio Garcia. Do you want to go back to the PGA Tour? Interesting answers from those guys before this week's LIV tournament.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Come on, click, boom! As we wrap up the week, we contemplate the mysteries of the universe.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Burst.
Boom! I just laid down the A-law. Boom!
The best highlights.
Foles running up and down the line. It's a direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
And you're fired.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. The greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
After Hours presents the Boom Moment of the Week. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Boom!
All that stands in the way of perfection for Domingo Germán is Esteori Ruiz, Oakland's number 9 hitter. And Germán, the righty, deals to the plate. Swung on, ground ball to third. Donaldson's up with it. He throws to first. Domingo Germán has pitched a perfect game. For the fourth time in the history of the New York Yankees, perfection attained. Germán being mobbed at home plate by a full Yankee dugout coming out to congratulate the 30-year-old from the Dominican Republic on a chilly night in Oakland, California. Domingo Germán has tossed the 24th perfect game in Major League history.
Those of you that know him or around him, he's such a sweet guy, but you know, he's definitely been through a lot, and you know, taken ownership of a lot, and works really hard to it's important to him to be a good teammate and a good guy.
This is all Domingo. You know, he
has to throw to somebody, you know.
Yeah, no, he was incredible. He would have thrown it to anybody tonight. So it's just, you know, I couldn't be happier for him as a teammate and brother, and you know, it's just such a great night, and I'm just so glad for him.
Congratulations on this incredible piece of history, Domingo Germán. Could there be a more unlikely candidate for baseball's 24th perfect game? Justin Shackle on Yankees radio, and then in addition, you hear Kyle Higashioka on Yes Network, and the chance to be part of a perfect game as a catcher, I think, would be really cool as well. You've got a front row seat. Nobody sees it better than you, but you also were a partner in this slice of history. So that's awesome. Congratulations to Domingo, who had a losing record and had given up 10 runs in his previous start. It's the first time he's ever thrown a complete game in his career, which blows me away. But not even 95 pitches to start the final inning. He finishes with 99 pitches and 9 strikeouts and perfection. Definitely a moment of the week that we could hear over and over again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, baseball and July 4th weekend, the boys of summer, they all go hand in hand. If you missed it earlier on the show, we had this really cool off the beaten path interview that I loved. It was with a minor league broadcaster who's in Albuquerque right now, who travels with the San Diego Padres AAA affiliate, the El Paso Chihuahuas. Just that alone should remind you how quirky minor league baseball is. Anyway, he's got a brand new book that he put together over the course of 10 years. So it's a 10-year project. It's called Tales from the Dugout. And he's put it together in this really cool format, bite-sized stories, if you will. Lots of cool cartoon drawings. Just the way that it's presented makes it really easy to read. But it's 1,001 humorous, inspirational, and wild anecdotes from minor league baseball. And they go back to the 1800s, but they're as recently as 2021. So I would encourage you to check out the interview that I did with Tim Haggerty. Again, joined us from Albuquerque, but listens to us on our San Diego affiliate, 97.3. If you love minor league baseball and the culture, it really is it's a niche for a lot of families. It's more affordable. It's a laid-back atmosphere. The types of fun themes they do at minor league ballparks. And you get to see a lot of major league talent come through as well. Listen to this conversation with Tim and listened to him talk about the book and the effort that he put into it and where he found all these stories. He actually had 1,100 and had to trim 100 of them out. And if you find him on Twitter, so check out my Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got the link to his Twitter account. If you find him, you can find the link to order the book as well. And that's part of our podcast. Every single show podcasted separately, and we can access it as early as a few minutes after we sign off on our weekday mornings. We will be here Sunday night into Monday morning and then Monday morning into the holiday, Independence Day. Lots of baseball, of course, but also NBA free agency. And I don't know that we'll break down LIV golf, but these days, got to keep an ear to the ground when it comes to golf because you never know what might happen. The dust has settled a bit on this LIV PGA merger, but for the first time this week, we heard from Phil Mickelson about the merger and people asking him whether or not he feels validated by the fact that the PGA caved, if you will, and decided that since they couldn't beat LIV and because that they're because of the elements of LIV that can help out the PGA Tour, namely the money, is this validation for Phil?
I would say I felt appreciation that we got to this point where we're working together because it makes me confident with where the game of golf is headed in the future. We felt like it was going to be about 2 years roughly before we got to that point. It took a year quicker than I thought it would be. And going forward, we're all very optimistic about where the game of golf and professional golf specifically is headed. Also, a lot of the changes that have been made because of LIV, we're all very appreciative, both on the LIV Tour as well as the PGA Tour. And we're happy for the guys out there that they're having that they're having some positive changes there as well.
Now, Phil had said, remember, he was the one who made extensive comments about the PGA Tour and negative comments about how it was being run under Jay Monahan. While he also made some really inflammatory comments, especially about the Saudis, though he's taking the money to participate in LIV and was promoting this LIV tour, he took a self-imposed exile and he was gone from golf for months and months. He says he's in a better place now. He says he's happy. He was asked whether or not he has any interest in returning to the PGA Tour.
Rather than just say like yes, no, I know that I would say that all of the, from a player experience, all of the difficulties and challenges and the things that take a lot of excess of energy output throughout the week have been been fixed at LIV. And so the player experience here is incredible. And I just can't envision a better scenario for me as a player than playing out here on LIV.
He sounds very optimistic, but I can imagine some of that stems from the fact that he feels as though he was right. He was on the right side of this. He was out in front of this LIV movement. And whether or not LIV folds is another question. So the PIF, the personal investment fund of the Saudis, plans to continue funding the LIV tour. Will there be money given to PGA guys? Potentially the ones that stay with the PGA, maybe they're still working that out. And certainly there will be an infusion of money as part of this merger. But the LIV guys, they don't sound like they're anxious to return to the PGA. Now, would some of them like to play in more tournaments or maybe be involved in the Ryder Cup? Yeah, probably. But I would say it's a lot easier to be satisfied with your decision when you realize that the PGA missed you, essentially. But also, the PGA is looking at what LIV has and the money and saying, oh, yeah, there is something to that grass being a little bit greener over there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Is there a chance that LIV folds and doesn't survive, Phil?
I think actions are a little bit stronger than words. I think if you just look at what LIV is doing and what we're doing, I think that will is more of a statement.
Yeah, he went on to say that everything over the last couple of years that we've been told by Greg Norman and LIV officials has come to fruition. So we have a lot of confidence in what they've been saying to us. He actually, typical of Phil, and he got roundly criticized for this, right? We don't really feel the need to publicly posture our position. There's really no need for us to talk about things publicly, but to just let it play out. But it's easier to take that position when the merger is already announced, right? You feel there's validation if you read between the lines. If you see Phil's body language and you hear him now taking the high road, it's because it's easier to do that when you know you've won, at least in a manner of speaking. And of course, there's validation for these guys who went to live to now know that the PGA Tour is taking the same money that not only golfers, but PGA officials criticized them so roundly for taking, as they were selling their souls to the devil, right? And now PGA Tour is doing the same thing. So yeah, all kinds of validation there, which I appreciate that they don't need to say it themselves. Brooks Koepka is a major winner this year at the PGA Championship. Does he want to return to the PGA?
I've been pretty happy with my decision to be here at LIV. I've enjoyed it. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but I would say everybody's pretty excited and everybody's pretty happy with where they're at right now. It's tough to look into the future and say, I don't have any control of what other guys do, but I know I'm happy where I'm at right now, and just take it one day at a time.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson kind of said something similar. You know, not interested in going back to the grind of the PGA Tour, not interested in picking up that schedule again. And really, that's what we heard from a lot of guys like Bryson DeChambeau, like Phil, like Brooks. The grind of the PGA Tour and the responsibilities, where a lot of times you're on site from Wednesday to Sunday if you play through the cut, maybe even Tuesday or Monday if you want to get practice rounds. These are some of the biggest names and the best golfers on the planet in Brooks and Dustin Johnson, and yet they're not backtracking on this decision to jump.
I'm excited for the future. I think, with this agreement, the only thing that's going to happen is LIV's going to get even better than what it is now, which it's already great. I'm happy exactly where I am, and I'm definitely not looking to play more golf than I'm playing now, that's for sure.
I mean, that's what he's saying. I don't want to play more golf. I'm good. I'm able to balance family, I'm able to balance golf, and I'm making a heck of a lot of money doing it. So yeah, you're not hearing any of these guys say that they feel like they're missing something. And now they can be, as producer Jay says, smug because they feel as though they chose the right side and they were ahead of the curve, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, as we head up toward the top of the hour here in the last 2 minutes, I want to share some of your answers. What is your first choice at the backyard barbecue or summer picnic? Producer Jay, where's the first place you go?
If we were talking specifically for the July, I always have to start hot dog.
Do you?
I have to have
it's a
hot
tradition?
Yes. If it's the 4th of July, I have to have at least one hot dog on the 4th of July. Have to.
So no chips and dip. No, you don't eat veggies. No veggies and dip. No appetizer of any kind. You're going straight for the dog.
Are we counting dips? Because if there's salsa or something there, I'll get in there. But it's going off the barbecue. I'm going right for the hot dog.
So off the grill, first thing you're doing is a dog.
Because I usually watch the hot dog eating contest in the afternoon, which gets me inspired
Gross.
To see how many I can try.
I do not want that image in my head. Mike says nothing more American than a ribeye. Whoa, he's high class. Another tweet, the carne asada tacos. Witt says anyone who says they don't head for the dip selections are not being truthful, especially if Frito scoops are involved. Another one, Coors Light, which is what they were drinking at the match, and a dill pickle. Although he says a drill pickle, which... is also humorous. On our Facebook page, lots of great answers. I've seen everything from the cheeseburgers to the watermelon to I've even seen vegan burgers. The veggie tray. Andy goes with the veggie tray. Let's see. Dawn says the greatest aroma is ribs on the grill, followed by the burgers. That's a 1-2 punch. So yeah, thanks so much for your answers. Enjoy your holiday weekend. We're back Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.